my pleasure to call Brother Clyde Ford to give us the word of exhortation. Brother Clyde.
Well, I guess I should say good morning. Everyone else has. And having looked at the readings for this morning, they're really all rich in exhortational material. And I asked Brother Nathan to make a decision whether he did the Joshua reading or the Isaiah reading, but I asked him to do also the John 10 reading. And I've been recently cramped for time, so what we do, I guess, when we're speaking, when we're cramped for time, we don't go after the big subjects. We kind of pivot back to recent studies that we are working on. In my case, it's the Gospel of John. Now, Jesus, as we all know, was the master communicator. He spoke with illustration. He spoke through parables. He spoke through figures of speech, metaphors, allegories, real-life experience, references from real life. And this morning's title, from taken from John chapter 10, is One Door, One Flock, and One Shepherd. One door, one flock, and one shepherd. Now, the shepherd, of all the illustrations, would have been the most iconic of all the players in Israel. At most any time in ancient history, it was a rural agrarian society, sheep and shepherds, perhaps better known than even the sower who went forth to sow. Sheep were central to the economies of the nation, especially when you understand the centrality of the lamb in sacrifice and diet. They all would understand sheepfolds, shepherd sheltered areas with a gate, possibly a cave in most cases. It would often be shared by other shepherds and their flocks overnight. So we had sheep, we had a door, secure access to protect against thieves and rustlers and predators. And of course, a shepherd. The shepherd would know his sheep by name, as we're reminded by Jesus, know his sheep by name, and his sheep would know his voice. An ultimate relationship, really. In the morning, his sheep would follow his voice, and they would come out. They wouldn't hear the other shepherd's voice that might be close by. And the shepherd would lead the sheep, and the sheep would follow their shepherd out to pasture and in and out to pasture, as the record says. The good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. And Jesus puts himself squarely in the center of this allegory when he says, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. The figure of speech is embedded in the teachings of Jesus and in all the record in the New Testament. For example, when Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing their diseases and every affliction, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So let's go back to the text in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes out before them, and the sheep follow him. They know his voice. They follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will in fact flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them. In verse 6, we see this, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And I think, really, this figure of speech was one that they should have understood, probably more than any others. So Jesus said to them again, he had to tell them the story again, give them the picture again. Verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the sheep, the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. One door, one flock, and one shepherd. So he says in chapter 10, verse 1 and in verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And what a contrast that is. One way is destruction and death. The other way is abundant life. Now, we don't have time to contemplate what abundant life could possibly mean or what it would look like. However, it is evident to find out that we need to enter through the door. The door is a common concept and foundation of preaching, of evangelism. We preach Jesus. He is the door. It's through Jesus that we take our message. And you know, today we have other voices trying to create different doors, different concepts of faith, many ways to get around the door. There are many movements today that just want to sort of deconstruct faith to make the truth about Jesus work better for them. Remove what they consider to be oppressive, for example. Well, we like your little church, Clyde, but there are some things that just don't work for us. We like what you're saying about Jesus. That works for us. But we have a problem with Paul. Well, of course, Paul on the beach that day, pouring out his heart to the Ephesian elders, says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. You see, we are secure in Jesus because of the restrictions of the door. You can't access Jesus unless you come through the door. He is the door. That door, as mentioned, is emblematic of the gate to proclaiming the good news about Jesus. One door, a common concept in preaching. And so, Acts 14:27, and when they arrived at Antioch and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And he goes on to say, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. The door metaphor is also described by Jesus as a narrow gate. Matthew 3:13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Or as Jesus himself confirms in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says he is the only door, the only access to the Father, the only access to eternal life. So one door, now one flock. Well, we are the sheep. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts Psalm 95, verse 7. And we must state at the beginning of this next piece that being called sheep is not at all complimentary. I know we're not always ready for that, but we have to be. But first, I have some necessary observations on sheep. The first one is what I call my Bear Hill experience. There's a large field in the front of our newly constructed farmhouse in 1968. There was a need for mowing, and what better way to do it but get some sheep? There's a brother in Vancouver, belonged to the Vancouver meeting. His name was John Bowie. He was a farmer in Delta, and he transported animals in his truck and trailer. And he was a friend of my dad. He brought us over a small flock of sheep consisting of a very obstinate older ewe, a very stubborn ram, and a number of lambs. Now, the first thing the ram or the ewe did upon being let out with the flock, offloaded into our yard, was to stomp right around the edge of the perimeter fence looking for a way to get out, having no idea the danger that lay beyond the fence. And I'm always reminded of the little farm boy's response to the teacher's math question. "So, Jethro, if there are 12 sheep in the pen and one got out, how many would be left?" "None," said Jethro. "Oh, no, Jethro, 12 minus 1 would be 11. "Well," said little Jethro, "you might know something about sheep, man, but you don't, I'm sorry, you might know something about math, man, but you don't know anything about sheep." And by the way, I didn't know anything about dog packs either until I experienced violence in our pasture one morning after a clear moonlit night. One dead dog, a large German shepherd actually, looked like a wolf, dispatched by a broadside shot from Mr. Willie's shotgun. The dogs had been attacking his heifers. I found 3 dead sheep, bodies ravaged by the dogs, for fun. Not for food, for fun. And one sheep holding on to life, but expiring with a gasp as I kneeled at its side, probably dying from a heart attack from being chased. I was heartbroken. These were the sheep of my hands, the sheep of my pasture. They needed and deserved my care. I was a failure as a shepherd sitting in that field that sad morning, surrounded by death. I had failed my sheep. Now, okay, sheep are basically stupid. As a result, they're extremely vulnerable. They need a shepherd. And Brother Matt illustrated this to us in a recent exhortation, including some thoughts on cast sheep. A cast sheep is one who has fallen over on his back. Sheep in this position are unable to right themselves. They are completely helpless in this situation with their spindly legs and their wide bodies and are unable to flip themselves over and get up. This upside down position is extremely dangerous for sheep. First of all, a sheep that is cast down is vulnerable to predators. A wolf or a coyote or a bear could easily kill and eat the sheep that is upside down. Secondly, the sheep's 4-compartment stomach is in danger of building up gases that cut off circulation from the legs. Can result in quick death. A shepherd who has lost sight of one of his sheep will search carefully and diligently, knowing that a missing sheep might be in big trouble. A cast down sheep requires immediate action, and the shepherd must restore the sheep's blood flow and health to ensure the sheep will survive. And this is exactly what Jesus, I'm sure, is talking about when he talks about the shepherd who leaves 99 sheep and he runs to find the one that is missing before it's too late. This is based on reality and experience. Now, the Bible uses the analogy of sheep to describe God's chosen people, Israel, and believers in Christ who are adopted into God's family. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone," to his own way. "And the Lord has laid on the shepherd the iniquity of us all. We are like the helpless sheep who wander off, get turned upside down, and are unable to right ourselves." Psalm 79:13 says, "But we are your people, the sheep of your pasture." And Psalm 119, verse 76 says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. When sheep are mentioned in Scripture, we should pay attention, because these references tell us about our sad and vulnerable condition as God's children. Well, there's more we need to say. The picture of a sheep in the Bible is to show our true state of being. We are dependent on God. We're dependent on His Son, Jesus, who is our shepherd. Dependent on everything, for everything. Sheep cannot find pasture for themselves, nor can they defend themselves against predators. Left on their own, sheep will not survive. They're foolish. Sheep will leave a lush green pasture to find and feed on brown grass somewhere for no apparent reason. And sheep cannot find their way back to their own sheep pen. Sheep somehow don't know the use of wisdom to make decisions. They wander off and get lost. Sheep may wander because they are scared and flee, but usually they can't find their way back home. Sheep may wander because they're following other sheep, not aware of where they're going. Sheep may wander because they are curious and want to inspect something interesting more closely. All of these reasons take them away from their shepherd and lead them to danger. Without a shepherd, sheep can't survive. Again, we can't forget Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. The picture of both sheep and God's people is that we are prone to wander. We are prone to chase after other gods and idols for happiness and satisfaction. Just like sheep, we put ourselves in danger when we wander from God. And sheep are also stubborn, of course. Psalm 23, David talks about the shepherd using a rod and a staff to correct the sheep. Shepherds must watch continually for sheep who insist, for example, on going away from the flock. And there's much more to say, but we won't. However, the Bible tells us that we are all sheep and we have all gone astray. This is not a happy picture for us to be considering being referred to the Bible as sheep, as we said before, not at all complimentary. However, sadly, it's true. We desperately need a shepherd, and that means we need Jesus. God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has made a way for His sheep to be rescued and redeemed from their utter cast-down position. A shepherd has been provided through God's grace. And oh, what a shepherd. Oh, what a Savior. One door, one flock, one shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, I'm not much into words and meanings in Greek and Hebrew, but this particular word, good here, is the Greek word kalos, K-A-L-O-S. Jesus uses this word here, and you don't find it much anywhere else. And what does it mean? Well, here it is. Beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable. Wow. The good shepherd. When you think about Jesus as the good shepherd, you think of all of those words altogether. And it also implies, of course, that there are lots of bad shepherds. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hired hand and is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, the beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. And I know my own, and my own know me. Very dangerous world out there, all kinds of perils and dangers for the helpless sheep, wild animals, rustlers, hired hands who put their own lives ahead of the sheep. To that guy, it's just a job. If he was in danger, the hired hand would say, it's not worth my life. I'm getting out of here. But Jesus, the good shepherd, says, I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus answered them, I have told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. To this crowd that was around him, you are not among my sheep. My sheep, in verse 27, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Again, a short reminder from Matthew. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless and sheep without a shepherd. This is our compassionate shepherd. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, leading them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. And it occurred to me in this consideration that as stupid as sheep are, they know the shepherd's voice. I have to say that again. As stupid as sheep are, they know the shepherd's voice. After all the negative things that we can say about these poor animals, what is their redeeming quality? They listen to the shepherd's voice. A laser focus. They don't hear anything else, any other voices. They listen to the shepherd's voice. Now, verse 8, Jesus said, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And, you know, you check out the commentators and they indicate that, you know, he's trying to make sure that we know that he wasn't talking about Moses or he wasn't talking about the good prophets of old. But Jesus, almost in the present tense, is saying, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. All who have come, and they were still coming in Jesus' day, they surrounded him. All kinds of false prophets roaming around as Jesus was there. And they are among us today, all who have come professing to be teachers, those claiming honor for themselves, those who are false prophets, the modern Pharisees, who've done a terrible job of caring for the sheep, all of them, however they present themselves, says Jesus, are thieves and robbers, trying to destroy the flock because they are narcissists, basically, and that is what they enjoy doing. Notice what he goes on to say. The sheep do not listen to them. The people who came before were thieves and robbers. They attracted all kinds of people, but the sheep did not listen to them because the sheep do not listen to the voice of a stranger. They only respond to the good shepherd. I also wondered, after considering this a bit, what about our hearing ability? How do we indicate that we actually are followers of Jesus? A sort of metric of whether we are in Christ or whether we're not. Whether we're sheep of the fold or whether we're not. And one of the indications that we rest securely and sufficiently in who Jesus is and what he has done, one of the evidences to that end is listening. Who do we listen to? To whom do we refuse to listen? And again, there are all kinds of voices calling all kinds of directions, offering all kinds of fixes, new ideas, new interpretations, all sorts of exciting opportunities. And we recognize that many are attractive opportunities, modern twists, progressive thinking. But at the very heart of it all, we must listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And there are many examples of this, of course. Zacchaeus, that little guy that climbed up the tree. And Jesus said to him, come down. I must stay at your house today. He heard the voice of the shepherd, or the calling of his disciples, saying, follow me. And Andrew, and Peter, and Philip, and Nathaniel, and Matthew, and the tax collector, and so on. Or blind Bartimaeus on the road outside of Jericho. Or if I may speculate, even the thief on the cross hearing the shepherd's voice saying, today you will be. But of course there are more. Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one door, one flock, and one shepherd. Yes, other sheep, Gentiles. Think of the Syrophoenician woman in the region of Tyre and Zidon. What took Jesus way up north to Tyre and Zidon? And there was a woman who fell at the shepherd's feet, saying, Lord, help me. And the shepherd said, O woman, how great is your faith. Oh, the woman at the well in Samaria, Jesus has said, had to pass through Samaria. Were there other ways to go? And he said to her, give me a drink. And she heard the voice of Jesus. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do what is, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. Already designated people. Or the Ethiopian eunuch, for example, or the Roman centurion, his entire household, and many of all, and all of us who are here today. The flock is still being assembled until all are gathered in, all who hear the voice of the shepherd, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Romans 11 and 25. Verse 17. John 10, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father, and he willingly does all this for us, who hear his voice, who enter through the door, and come in and out and find pasture. You see, brothers and sisters, our protection, our security this morning as believers doesn't lie in the walls of the fold's enclosure. In other words, our security does not rest in the walls that enclose this building, but in the proximity of the shepherd. That's our security. Lo, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28 and 20, that sounds secure. Or for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Matthew 18, 20. That sounds secure. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. That sounds secure. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd will be with you. That also sounds secure. Therefore, the security of the believer doesn't lie in the strength of our faith, but in the indestructible life of the one in whom we have placed that faith. Therefore, the believer's security doesn't lie in the strength of our faith, but in the indestructible life of the one in whom we have placed that faith. It's simple. One door, one flock, one shepherd. And our risen Lord is both the door and the shepherd. The one who gave his life for us who are the work of his hands, the sheep of his pasture. As we pass these tokens of his care from hand to hand, we need to be asking ourselves this important question. What voices are we listening to? What voices are we listening to? Amen.